Those little Baptist children, I guess they were. Amen. They sung it real slow. Amen. I think we can do better, don't you? Hallelujah. Why? Because we know from experience that He's alive this morning. Amen. He hasn't even been sick. Praise God. He hasn't lost one iota of His strength. His power is just the same. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let me read to you in Mark chapter 14 and chapter 15, two verses. Mark 14, 50. And they all forsook Him and fled. Mark 15, 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. My Easter text title is simply Forsaken. Forsaken. What is forsaken? No friendship, no friends. No fellowship, no fellows. No help. No comfort, no sympathy, no company, alone, so alone, forsaken. Brave Cephas, yeah, you may call him Simon or Peter. Follows Him now afar off. So far, Jesus don't feel the strength of His company. The bold young man that in curiosity stays wrapped in a linen cloth because he probably got out of bed to come to this event. Amen. They grab him as one of the followers of Jesus. And the Bible says he fled naked. I want to tell you this morning, no matter which way you run from Jesus or where you go from Jesus, when you leave Him, you leave naked. The women looked on from afar. And then their piercing, agonizing cry from the cross. My God! My God! It must have summoned every ounce of strength. Why hast thou forsaken me? The shepherd has been smitten. The howling wolves caught him alone and ganged up on him. And the sheep have been scattered. And now, forsaken and alone, he dies for you and me. And I like to tell you today that hell hath no fury like being forsaken. Forsaken of everybody. Everybody that should have hung on in a time like this. And then at last, forsaken of God, His Father Himself. No hell hath no fury akin to that. The flames of hell are but little portent compared to being forever separated from God. You know why he was forsaken? He was forsaken to keep you from being forsaken. Because every Christ rejecting sinner will soon be hopelessly, eternally, horribly, awfully forsaken. For if you reject Christ soon, you will go beyond help of anybody or anything. There are some here today that if you knew how close you were to that oblivion, it'd scare you to death. Some have already been in hell for years and years, forsaken forever. Amen. I'm glad to report to you this morning in my short theses that he lives to save you now. Now, he lives to set you free. Amen. He drank the full draught of that cup of loneliness for you. And this morning, I beg you, I plead with you that just before you go, where nobody can go with you, and where God himself will not go, just before you walk that lonesome valley that they used to sing about when I was a boy, you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. Nobody here can walk it for you. You gotta go there by yourself. Just before you walk that lonesome valley, throw your arms around that old rugged cross. Throw your arms around the feet of him whose hands and feet and side was pierced and riven for your sins. For someday soon, there'll be no tomorrow. I can tell you with all authority from God's word, someday forsaken, if you reject Christ, you'll go where there's never any more anything to look forward to. Amen. No future. Forsaken forever. The old song said it's sweet to be remembered on a dark and clouded day. It's sweet to be remembered, whether near or far away. Oh, to think somebody remembers us. Somebody is praying for us. But if you reject Christ and persist in rejecting Christ, tomorrow you'll go where a mother's prayers can't reach you. If you persist in rejecting Christ, you'll go beyond the reach of the poor minister of the gospel who tried to entice you to Calvary. I'd like to say this morning, before you go where you'll be stripped, I mean stripped, of all health, all wealth, all friends, all loved ones. Amen. Hear the call of the living shepherd today. Amen. Before you go, like the Jews of the Holocaust, just before the Germans cremated them in the hellish crematories, and in the fires of Buchenwald and Auschwitz and Treblinka and a school of others, perhaps, amen, of concentration camps. They stripped them of their clothes. They took their money that they had stashed in their socks and in their clothing and in secret places from them. They took their shoes from them, and they marched them naked to the gas chambers. Naked to the flames. Naked to the ovens. Oh, Patton and his Third Army rescued some of them. Amen. But not before they came upon piles of human corpses that were nothing but skin stretched over bones. General Patton was so mad that he made the army go into town and forced the people to march 5 to 8 miles to the concentration camp from the city and walk through it and see what their army had done. And what was it the Germans repeated over and over again as they walked through the concentration camp? In German they said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." They could not believe that their representatives in the military had sank so low as to starve thousands of people, half starve and half work them to death. They found laying on their board beds in the concentration camp hollow-eyed, sallow-jawed men and women with no life hardly left in them. They could hardly speak. They could hardly care. They had gone so far and so long without food. Amen. You know what the cry of all those inhabitants of the Holocaust and the concentration camp and the survivors, what their cry was? Does anybody know we're here? Why doesn't somebody come? Does the rest of the world know? Why doesn't somebody rescue us? Amen. You may wonder how or what inspired Patton to beg, borrow, steal, disobey orders, and continue to advance. He disobeyed the plain commands of his superiors. Amen. And when they told him to hold his lines and no longer go forward, amen, Patton went forward anyway under the guise of a probing action. Amen. Until he liberated a remnant of Jews who would survive the concentration camp. But I want to tell you that if you forsake the Lord today, who was forsaken for you, tomorrow you'll be forsaken and there'll be no Patton, no captain of salvation, no Eisenhower, no leagues of men in armor that'll come to rescue you. There'll never, 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 never be anybody that will know or care where you are once you've gone beyond the point of no return. This morning the gentle shepherd calls. This morning the gentle shepherd is calling his sheep by name. He knows yours. And he's calling yours. He's calling your name. Amen. Be encouraged this morning while we have today. Tomorrow we may not have it. Amen. But today somebody wants you. Somebody loves you. Somebody will save you. Today, amen, somebody knows your great potential. Somebody knows your real worth. You know why he knows your potential? You know why he knows your real worth? You know why God knows how great you can be? Because he's the one that made you. And he knows what he put in you. He knows your potential. He knows what you can become, praise God. And you know what his ultimate goal is? that you might become like Him. That's why John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. God has plans for you, eternal plans for you. And this morning, you can know them. From this day on, from April the 16th, is it? April the 16th on, amen. You can know Him who died for you. Yes, He knows what your potential is. That's why He died for you. He died. He was forsaken of all, even God His Father, for you, praise God. And He is preparing a place for you, the Bible said. And there you'll never be lonely again. Never again. Praise God. He lives to save you now. And you can be saved from this altar and go to heaven and never know what the terrors of hell really are. You see, there's some things you don't want to experience. You can paint the walls of a public building or your own house and put up a sign, wet paint, stand back and watch. And as people walk by, they'll touch it. They just want to see if it's still wet. Amen. You can tell your little baby when he begins to toddle and walk, stay away from that hot stove. Don't touch that bulb. It's hot. And you try to teach him, hot, hot. But turn your back and you'll catch him reaching for that hot stove or for that light bulb. Amen. Yes, Sister Collins has up some plastic fruit, or used to, amen, in the house. And we had a missionary come by with his child little, and as he passed by carrying his little boy, he started screaming and crying and pointing. He wanted the fruit. Daddy tried to explain to him, it's not good to eat, he said. Amen. And he reaches up and gets one, and he puts it up to his mouth. He says, see, it's not good to eat. Amen. But the child wanted to experiment. He wanted to touch it. He wanted to see if all that color tasted as good and as sweet as it looked. He wanted to see if the paint is wet. Amen. And a sign on the wet concrete tempts us to stick our big toe in it if we're a child. Amen. Oh, yes. And oftentimes you'll see dog tracks right down through the middle of it. They couldn't read. Amen. And sometimes you'll see cat tracks in the edge. They couldn't read either. Amen. But you're not a dog. You're not a cat. You don't have to stumble into oblivion. I got a new dog the other day. Her name was Princess. Princess said, you be careful when you call that dog's name in public that you let them know you're not talking about me. Amen. So I turned her loose one day and left her loose. Been tied up for months already. Incidentally, she neither bites sinners nor hypocrites. So nobody has any need to fear Princess. She just likes everybody. Anybody comes along, she likes attention. Amen. And so I guess she's named rightly. Amen. But anyway, don't tell Princess I said that. Amen. The other day I left and left her loose. Evidently, she tried to follow me. Amen. And as she tracked my automobile down to Route 4 and got up on out on Route 4 while I was going to visit the hospital in Middletown and make some more calls in Middletown and didn't get back. First thing my wife says, why'd you turn the dog loose? I said, well, I thought she's been around here so long, she likes good and everything. I thought she'd stay. She said, some young people brought her up. She'd been run over by a car and went out. She couldn't walk. She got out on that highway and almost got killed. She's back to hopping a little bit. She used to could jump 3 feet high. She'd jump about 2 feet now, and she's almost well, but she may always carry a limp. She's recovered. But a lot of them got out on Route 4 that didn't make it back. A lot of them, amen, went beyond the point of no return. They found there was no match for those automobiles going 60 miles an hour and weighing several tons. Amen. They couldn't get out of the way in time. Amen. I'll tell you, God's give you a good, sound mind. But you procrastinate. You put off your soul salvation. You forsake the Lord a little bit longer for some selfish reason. You continue on and persist in rebellion against God, against the Christ who was forsaken, tasted of the pangs of death and hell for you. Amen. As they give us a song, the good shepherd who knows your name, knows your tremendous potential, is here to help you realize it today. But if you cross that final line, going the wrong direction, if you flee from him, you'll flee naked. You'll lose everything. And never, never, never gain it back. No. It is possible that you'll go so far that you'll never gain back the fellowship, friendship, or knowledge of a godly praying mother. The fellowship, friendship, teaching, and knowledge of a godly praying dad. Or the friendship, fellowship, and understanding and comfort of a church that loves you. Don't go away. He stretches out his hands to you. As we stand, step forward, fall on your knees, and accept Jesus. Father, touch these remarks. Bring my friends to God. Bring those whom you know by name and whom you're calling today to return to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus arose from the dead, sent a message to his scattered sheep, tell my disciples and Peter. He gathered them together again, said, meet me in Galilee. And he kept that appointment. And he'll keep his appointment with you. Amen. Will you meet him in this altar this morning as they say?
Amen.
Yes, he does.
About you.
You. He cares about you.
Don't doubt it.
Step out.
Or deny it.
Make your altar with these that
see
are coming.
See what God has
break out.
Done.
Run to Jesus. Reclaim that cloak, that robe of righteousness. Reclaim that crown. Reclaim that mansion. Reclaim that place. He's preparing in the presence
you
of God.
Know it's true.
Amen.
That he really cares about
come
you.
Come on.
Hearts that have
been broken,
can be renewed.
Christ knows how you feel. His heart
was broken too.
And believe him, that's what to do. He really cares about you. Don't doubt it.
Or deny it.
Don't deny it.
See what God has done. To prove that He loves you, He gave His own Son. Thank God for the answer.
You know it's true.
He really cares about you.
Come pray with us. There's still time. While there's still time, make your calling and election sure. Let Him clothe you with robes of righteousness, with garments of salvation. Give you as a free gift everlasting life, a place where there's many mansions, where He's coming soon again to take us. Amen. If you have to go, come back tonight believing God for a harvest of precious ones tonight, in this service tonight. Amen. God.
Doubt it or deny it. See what God